would, our Bibles to the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, starting with verse 14. 1 Thessalonians 5, 14. Amen. First Thessalonians 5, 14 reads, "Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient towards all men." Praise the Lord. Amen. "See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." Praise the Lord. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. Please be seated. Amen. I'd like to take a subject this morning by God's grace, and we'll see how this the Lord leads, but on prayer. Prayer. So there's many aspects on prayer that we can go through, and Brother Marcel has been going on the Lord's Prayer, and so different angles, and I felt this pressed on my heart to go through, and you know, prayer is such an important part of our Christian life, as the Scripture is talking about, but sometimes maybe there might be some blind spots with prayer as far as our lack of understanding of things that God wants us to know and understand about it. Maybe perhaps the way that we're going about it, perhaps where it's not as effective in things. And so you say that prayer is a very simple topic. Well, as we go further in this, perhaps it will have a different perspective about, not trying to say that we need to be complicated, but the prayer subject is very deep from what I'm reading thus far. And so I'd like to go through this a little bit, and so we'll start on this with verse, so it says in verse 17, "Pray without ceasing," and we know that Brother Branham talks about prayer, that you can never pray too much. The Scriptures say you can never pray too much. You can do a lot of other things too much, you know, even study too much, the Word of God, so that you're like, wow, you can study too much? Yes, you can. Have you ever studied so much that you get a headache reading the Word of God or the message of the hour? You're trying to cram too much information. So that can happen. But spending time with the Lord in prayer is something different. You can never, it seems like the more the time you spend in prayer, the more time that you want in prayer. The more time you spend in prayer, the deeper you get in God and the more lost you get of this world and deeper into Christ. And so we just want to hit a few things that the Scripture has said and the prophet has said concerning this. So pray without ceasing. Ephesians 6, and we're going to go through a few scriptures here, and then we're going to kind of move along. But Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17, if you would. And I'm going to trust that you can turn quickly, because I'm just going to kind of go through quickly. So Ephesians chapter 6 talks about the whole armor of God and different parts of the armor. But then it talks about in verse 18, part of the warrior's armor is also, or resource, is prayer. It talks about the helmet, talks about the sword, talks about the shield, talks about how you're shodding the feet with the gospel of peace. But then in verse 18, it says, "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." So we know that the Scripture says pray always, but do we do that? And do we see that it is possible in our life? Because we know that it's there, but obviously we're not exercising it. Maybe there's some of us that are, and you know, we trust that we can talk to you and gain some insight from you all. But most believers don't pray enough. They don't pray, as the Scripture says, they don't pray all day, they don't pray many times a day. They're not constantly thinking on the Word of God. So we want to see, because if he said it in the Word, then there should be a way for us to reach that, right? Are we all believers in the Word of God? Amen. So though it seemed impossible by man, it is possible with God. Amen. And so we've got to just believe in faith and apply that faith to the Word of God. Then it becomes a reality. And so if we just see it as something that's good and something nice, and we never try to exercise that and apply it to the Word of God and exercise that faith, it will never happen. So if the Scripture says that we must pray for our enemies, and we don't ever exercise it, you go, that's really hard to do, and I know that it's the right thing to do, but you never exercise it, it'll never come to fruition, brothers and sisters. And it's a hard thing to do, but I believe that the more you do it, the more that God will bring you into that. And so I remember on Wednesday we were talking a little bit about obedience, and God is trying to bring us into the channel of obedience. And obedience is really getting to the same mind of Christ that he is, and same channel. And when we get in there, then we become one with him, and then we're total obedience to the will of God. And so we've just got to have the heart and the attitude to try to do that and to yield ourselves to that. So we hear the Word of God, and we know what he has said about it, and we try to get more of God as we possibly can, and that's the attitude that he's looking for. And so when we have that type of attitude, then we're going to start to come into the channel of God. And so we're starting to put away the things that are obstacles or contrary to the Word of God. Because let's face it, the way that we were born, the way that we were raised, and things, it was contrary to God, the way he thinks and the way he acts. And so the thing of it is we need to put away our own thinking and our ways of trying to figure things out and get more in Christ. And I believe that the spirit of prayer is the way to do that. So it says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. And so we see prayer, we know what prayer is, and supplication is petitioning or asking the Lord. So when we ask of the Lord, what are we asking for? And we know that the motivation has to be correct. And James, it talks about that. And so our motives and objective for prayer has to be correct. It cannot be on worldly lust. It's got to be solely on the will of God. As the Lord's Prayer is talking about, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. And really, God is trying to bring us into the channel of his will. So as we talked about obedience, he's trying to bring our minds and everything, because when we're in his will, our prayers will be in his will, and then our prayers will be answered because it is the will of God. You understand what I'm saying? So when he says, let us be one with him as we are one. So Jesus is talking about praying to God. He says, let us be one. He's talking about Jesus with the people of God. Let us be one as we are one, as God and Christ are one. And so he's trying to build this unity and the same mindset and things. And actually when we begin to get more closer to God, then our prayers are going to be exactly in the will of God. So the prayers that we have for a brother or sister, for healing and different things, or for us, for something to take place, it goes more into the will of God. And when you're there, he talks about apply the token. And then if you apply the token, then your prayer will be heard, right, when you pray. And so if you're praying in the Holy Ghost, praying in Christ, in that same mindset, then you will receive what you're asking for. So Brother Branham says you're asking for the thing that you already are. So if you are part of that word, the things that you ask for, you're already a part of that. Amen. Simple, but yet very deep, okay? So now he says here, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So we want to be watching. We want to be looking ahead. You know, thinking about this, we want to be ready. So as Matthew chapter 24 talks about the end time. Are we all familiar with the scriptures there, the end time? So perilous times, will be deceived. Many people will be deceived. The elect will almost be deceived, but they will not be as deceived. And so when he's talking about this scripture, then he says, watch and wait. So that's what we ought to be doing right now. And so we ought to be getting ready, and we ought to be watching and waiting. It's not relaxing. And, you know, the spirit of this age is to relax. The spirit of this age is to be complacent. The spirit of this age is to be in the status quo. And so when, you know, you're fighting the status quo, which is the humdrum of life, the humdrum of the Christian life, even humdrum of coming to church and different things on a routine basis, you say that I'm good, I'm fine, I go to church, and then I had a good service and things like that. But God wants much more than that. So he wants you to step up to a higher calling. He wants you to step up to where you become the Word. You're not trying to constantly pull, but God is so much in you that you're giving so much out, right? And so that is the basis, and we talked about it on Wednesday, but that's the basis of the life of Christ, to be giving. And so that life that's within you, he wants to give out. And so what is he trying to do? He's trying to build you to a place that there's so much of him in you that you're doing the same thing that Jesus did when he was on this earth, and that was giving the life of Christ to others. And so the people saw that life so much that they were beginning to pull on that life because they were in need. And there were people that needed healing of the body, healing of the spirit, and healing of the soul. You know, the woman at the well needed healing of the soul. You know, the woman with the blood issue, she needed healing of the body. And there are others that needed more healing inside the spirit, but he brought restoration and gifts of healing. And so when there was a need there, remember there's a deep call to the deep. And so where there's a need, then it's pulling on whatever's able to satisfy that need. And so Jesus, all he was doing when he was on this earth was just giving of himself, and they were pulling on that. They saw a life there, and they were drawn to him. And that's why they kept surrounding him and started pulling on him. And you know, in Brother Branham's life, he said the gift is there for the people. And that was the gift of God, the gift of Christ. It was Christ represented. And so the people would pull on that, and it would exhaust him, right? And so the same thing is, if somebody's pulling on us, if they see the life of Christ, it pulls on us, we feel something leaving us. But that's what exactly the will of God is. Now, Romans chapter 12, let's turn there. So Romans chapter 12, verse 9, starting with there, it says, "Let love be without dissimulation." That means hypocrisy. "Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another." So think of others better than yourself. "Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit." Fervent means hot. So you want to be hot in the spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. So what does instant in prayer mean? And so you take back the meaning. It says continuing steadfastly. Steadfastly means perseverant, constant. And it also says it means give oneself continually. So instant in prayer being being ready, if you understand what I'm saying. And so that you are so prayed up that you are ready to give. Now it says here, "and wait on continually, to hear to one, be his adherent, to be devoted or constant to one, to be steadfastly attentive unto, persevere and not to faint, constant readiness for one, wait on constantly." So if you think about it this way, you know, you're prayed in such a way that you're instantly ready, okay? Instant in prayer. And we're going to go into that about praying up, because as a believer, we have got to be prayed up. We've got to be ready. And the more ready we are, the more that we can fulfill the law of God, or fulfill the will of God to give. Now, so Matthew chapter 6, let's turn there. Verse 9. So we know this is the Lord's Prayer, and this is just the basis, and then we're going to continue on a few scriptures. But I'm just going to read a portion of this. And by the way, that's been a very wonderful series to understand this scripture. It brings a lot more meaning, as Brother Marcel has been doing here. Now, he says in verse 9, he says, "After this manner, therefore, pray, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. So this is the prayer of the believer, that thy will be done. So now, Luke chapter 6, verse 12, and I'm just going to continue reading, and you can write down the scriptures or whatever, try to follow along the best you can, but it says in verse 12, and it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. Now, we're going to focus on the will of God, but you see how Jesus, he set the example and how much he prayed. He says he continued in prayer all night for a certain situation. Now, we see in verse 13, when it was day, he called unto him his disciples, and of them he chose 12, whom also he named apostles. So perhaps he was praying all night because he had to make a decision about the apostles, because these men were to represent Jesus Christ. Now, they were all raw when he met them and when he called them, but he had a decision to make of who to call, right? And so Jesus had to pray. So if Jesus had to pray, then we surely have to pray. You know what I'm saying? Because he was born of sinless flesh, but we are born of sinful flesh. So if Jesus had to pray, then shouldn't we have to pray that much more? Because of all the things that are hanging on to us in this sinful flesh. And so he had to pray before he selected his disciples or his apostles. In Luke 22:42, when Jesus was, before he was about to go on the cross, he had this prayer saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And so, again, reinforcing that we must be within the Father's will. How many of us pray that way many times? Something happens in our life, adversity and things like that, or we want something. Do we know that it is the will of God? And so we've got to be certain that it's the will of God, because you can't have faith unless you know it's the will of God. Do you understand? Because if you know it's the will of God and you're certain of it, then you can rest your faith upon it, and then it's going to happen. But if you're praying to consume it upon some kind of lust or desire that may not be the will of God, there's no way for it to happen. So now we've got to find what the will of God. So now he goes into here. He says, in 1953, Brother Branham makes this comment in Elijah, Louisville, Kentucky, October 18th. He says this, now, he was a man just like we are. It's Jesus. Not an angel, not no more than what you or I. He had his differences in things, his ups and downs in life. And so he was susceptible to a lot of different things. The scripture says that he was susceptible to all temptations like we are. And so he was not always on the mountaintop. But God answered his prayer because he prayed earnestly and sincerely. And so when we might as well not even pray if we're not going to go in sincerity to the Lord. And we must be deadly sincere. And so we must be very serious about and really sense the seriousness of the matter and put it to God in prayer, because when he sees a sincere heart, then he's going to move. And so that was a key ingredient that God gave to Brother Branham. He says, if you are sincere and get the people to believe faith, right, then nothing can stand before your prayer, not even cancer. So those two ingredients have to be there, sincerity and faith. Now it says here, and before that kind of a prayer can be made for sick or for the end of drought, or for anything that we have need of, there must be a perfect understanding that we're praying in the will of God. That's the reason he could close the heavens that it didn't rain. Because God, this, we're talking about Elijah now, God had told him it was going to happen. So remember, Brother Branham had total faith because he saw it over and over, the visions, right? And because the visions proved time and again that they were true, when he received the vision, he had total faith in what he saw in the vision. And so that was the will of God, and he had total faith, and it was going to happen. Do you understand? And so there's that kind of faith, the vision kind of faith, but there's another kind of faith that you and I dwell in. Because he was a prophet, But you and I have a faith that Brother Branham demonstrated also. Remember when he was about to have the son Joseph, right? And so God gave him a revelation in his heart. And he spoke to him in a voice to his heart that he was going to have Joseph. That was in 1950. He ended up having the son in 1955 or 56, somewhere around there. But he knew in his heart that that was going to happen. And he could proclaim it like there was going to be, there's this piano standing here, this pulpit standing there. He could claim it even greater than what he could see. And so you and I can have that same revelation, and many of us experience that. That's what brought us to this message of the hour, many of us. It wasn't something intellectual. It had to be something spiritual that was speaking to our heart. So God told him it was going to happen. So it's easy to say anything's going to happen when God says it's going to happen, because it's got to be that way. God's word cannot fail. Now, talking about the will of God, because we need to understand how to find the will of God. And here is the key ingredient we're going to talk about here. So the question and answer is 1961. And you all are probably familiar with this quote, but I'm going to reiterate it here, and we're going to go into it. Maybe perhaps God will bring a different angle. How do you feel is the best way to find the Lord? How do you feel is the best way to find the Lord's will in some important matters? So he repeats the question, and he says, I tell you, dear friend, the best way to find the will of God in some important matters is prayer. So if we're not sure what the will of God is, then we ought to be praying. Okay? We shouldn't say that I don't know what the will of God is. Have you prayed? Right? So we've got to be in prayer. So he says that is the key thing that needs to be done. Now let me, here's a wonderful little thing here. If you have a matter that's very important, now here's the way I do it. So now he's getting into more detail of how to pray. I take it before the Lord. And it's always been my strength. I wait upon the Lord. So he's not rushing. He's waiting upon the Lord. Never rush into a decision, particularly a very, very important decision. Now he says, I wait upon the Lord and see what he says, and I just let myself neutral to it. So don't ever lean. If you're going to the Lord in prayer, I want the will of the Lord, and I really want this. You can't do that. You've got to be whatever you want, Lord. If it's this way and I don't really desire that way, or this way and I don't desire that way, whatever it is, O Lord, let me have your will. Don't take either side and say, okay. Of course, now in my case, most of the time, so he talks about how it's vision, but he says God can deal in revelation. Now he says, Lord, I would just wait upon the Lord, say, Lord, now you show me what's the decision to make. And then way you feel led to do it. Because, see, what's happening is, as you're in prayer, now you're forgetting the rest of the world. The voices that you were hearing before, because of all the things that you may have been dealing with at work or family and all that stuff, as you get deeper in prayer, those things start to fade away, right? And we know, as Brother Branham, he would go into the wilderness and pray because it would be peaceful. We've all been out there in the wilderness. It's very peaceful when there's not a lot of people. You hear the birds chirping. You sense the serenity. You see the water just still or flowing, and it gives you a peace of mind and heart. And then you begin to start to forget those things of the world. But it takes a little time to unclog yourself, right? And so, so more of that leaves. Now you're hearing, you're able to hear from God. And so now, as you're getting into that channel to be able to hear from God, now you can see the direction that the Lord is leaning towards. And Brother Branham also, and I so thank God for sending us a prophet that showed us these things, but when he talked about trying to find out, because he was trying to find the will of God into what message to preach. And so he was describing how he was doing that. And so he would go sometimes in the woods, and then he would just be quiet there, and then he would hear something in the distance, like, and it was like 2 + 2 = 4. He's just giving an example. 2 + 2 = 4, you know. And then he'd hear it again, 2 + 2 = 4. And then 2 + 2 = 4, and then faster and faster, you know. And then it became more prominent. And then he realized that, you know, God was trying to speak to him, right? And so the same thing as we begin to hear from God, you hear it faintly. And then as we wait upon the Lord, then he begins to make it more stronger and more powerful. And then he talks about, then you start to lean a certain way. You hear what I'm saying here. He says, the way you feel led to do it, then wait just a little bit, then wait a little while longer and see which way, which side you lean towards. And he says, which way the Spirit? Say, now, Father, in my heart, you know it doesn't matter, but I want to know what you want to do about it. That's the way I do about my meeting sometimes. So he does that in other areas, right? Trying to find the will of God. I feel kind of led to go this way or that way. Then I follow that way. That's the way to do it. Because it's in prayer, then you're doing the best you can. So, you know, you may not have it like instant prayer, like lightning striking in front of you. But God, the scripture says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. So he wants you to be patient. He wants you to seek him. And now your will is not in there, right? And you're not thinking about it in a human way. All that's starting to pass away a little bit. And then now you're hearing from God. And then now he's guiding you. Now he says this, I believe this, my friends, as Paul was in the New Testament days gone by, he was between two straits, which way he should go. And he started on the wrong road. And it got a Macedonian call. So sometimes we're going down a wrong road. And sometimes God allows us to do that. Sometimes, I don't know who I was speaking to about this, but God allowed Brother Bram to not always have a clear picture of the will of God sometimes, right? And it was kind of fuzzy. You know, the example of the meeting he was supposed to go to, whether it was supposed to go to, I think, Michigan or this other place here, and he had a faint vision, and he couldn't understand the vision. It was about a boat, you know, turning left kind of thing, and he didn't understand what it was, so it was unclear for him. And later, after he had to face a certain test, it was made clearer for him, and he made that decision. Another case in point was when he went to South Africa. He did not have a clear vision. He was warned that there was a trap for him, but he had no idea what that trap was. And he was caught blindsided, if you recall. And so he doesn't make it clear sometimes. And so he wants us to do the very best we can. And we know that that was there for a purpose. The South Africa thing is for him to learn. Not only him to learn, for us to learn. And so I won't have time to go through that story, but he did the best he can. He was trying to follow the will of God, but he was not allowed to follow the will of God. And so we're doing the best we can, and God is, that's what he's looking for. Because what more can we do, right? What more can we do? So we're trying to follow the will of God the best we can. We're praying, and we're going the wrong direction. He says here that God will correct us. Right? Maybe it's beforehand, maybe it's after the fact, but God will correct us. So he says here, and I believe if you are making a decision for God and do it the best that you can, I believe God will correct you and don't see that you don't go wrong. I believe God will do it. So, hey, there it is right there. I mean, that's grace because, you know, we are human in our abilities and we may not have a clear picture, but you know, God's looking for an honest heart. God's looking for a heart that has an attitude to try to follow him the best that they can. And if they're doing it and they're going in the wrong direction, God will guide them. I mean, just think about your children. You know, they're trying to do the best that they can and they go the wrong direction. Are you going to spank them? I mean, really? No. Because you see the intention of their heart, what they're trying to do. And so, yeah, you're going to bring them around the right way. Okay, now here we're getting into something a little bit deeper. Matthew chapter 6, verse 5. Okay, so talking about prayer again. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. I'm going to leave that thought there. So he talks about entering into the closet. Now, you know, he may not necessarily be talking about a physical closet, but you see here he's talking about going into a place in the secret, shut away from the things of the world, and go into prayer. And so this is true prayer. And Brother Branham makes a statement. He says, you know, your prayer in church, it's not nearly as meaningful as your prayer that's by yourself and you're alone. And so let me read this from Prophet makes this comment in 1957, Blind Bartimaeus, March 1st. You know there's something about getting alone to yourself. Many people never pray until they come to church. Okay, let it identify itself. But then let us take the correction. Many people think that's the only way to pray is at church. But the Bible said for men to pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands. And then when we get by ourselves, we'll usually pray different than what we would pray if it in church. It's the secret prayer that Jesus spoke of, saying, enter ye into the secret closet, close the door, and when you have did so, pray to your Father who sees in secret, and see that seeth in secret, and he that seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. And when we're praying like that, there seems to be something to the prayer that takes all the hypocrisy out of it. And so when we're in prayer, we're thinking about people sometimes, you know. They're watching me. What are they going to think of me and things? And sometimes sometimes it puts a little hypocrisy in there. It seems like that we get in a better connection with God to get alone. And there's been many times in my life, as perhaps in your life, that you just have to get alone once in a while with Jesus. I've took my car and drove down the road and just studying. After I got to the highway where it was free, or off on some country road, till I would become so filled with his mercies and goodness, till I just stopped the car and held the wheel and wept like a baby. Amen. I know there's different ones that have experienced that. And so it's just the goodness of the Lord. And we love that experience. And it's good to get away. Amen. And it's a battle. You know, you really have to fight tooth and nail to get that done. Right? And you feel a yearning in your heart to do it. But sometimes the normal things of everyday life, you know, family, to-do lists, you know, bills to pay, you know, whatever it is, they cling to you and they cause you from getting away with God. And sometimes you just need to take a vacation away from things and get alone with God. You need to just take time off of work. You need to, you know, get to a place. You need to do that. You know, you need to say, sometimes you need to say, family, I got to go. You know, I need to get closer to God. Remember, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And so the things of life, it looks so strongly before you. No, I got to do this. I don't have time to do this. And, you know, it makes it so strong. But if we follow the word of God, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other little things, you know, God will take care of them, right? I mean, he says, look at the lilies of the field, you know, look at the birds and all those things. He takes care of them. They don't have a worry in the world. And so when we have worries, it's not what God wants us to do. He wants us to focus on him. All those things will take care of himself. You may not see it with your eyes, but believe it, and God will take care of it. Amen. It's all in faith, brothers and sisters. So it says, that being alone, many times I've climbed up into the mountains where every man thought was with me. I was going hunting, go up there and sit down on a rock and just look up to the sky until it looked like that my whole innermost being become filled was something that you could just feel. Oh, everything of the world seemed to pass away. Oh, for those precious hours alone with God. And so, you know, sometimes you just got to take the plunge and just do it. I mean, you just don't see it, but you just step out in faith and just go do it. And it's there that when the greatest revelation and inspiration comes is when we're alone with God. We take more time on that. I'm sure that we would live a better life, more victorious life in Christ. So he's saying we're getting a greater revelation. Do we want a greater revelation of Jesus Christ? To understand him. Remember, that's the key of this hour, right? I mean, that's the third pull, the opening of the word, the opening of Christ to us. And so the key is prayer. Want to know more of God? Want to see a greater understanding of God? Then we've got to be in prayer. We've got to spend more time in prayer. 1958, hear his voice, October 5th. There was another man by the name of Peter who had become saved and had also filled with the Spirit. And he still wanted to hang on the tradition of the elders. How many of us many times want to hang on to traditions, the way that we were brought up, that may not necessarily be in accordance with the Word of God? Maybe the denominations we were from, maybe traditions of the family, maybe traditions of our culture. Yes, sometimes our culture gets in the way. So the American culture, we know some of those things, joking and entertainment and intellectualism and different things. And so whatever your culture is, if it's not compatible with the Word of God, it's got to be put away. We did this back home. Is it contrary to the Word of God? Got to get rid of it, brothers and sisters. And one day on a housetop, when he wanted to keep the traditions of don't eat meat on the Sabbath and so forth, there's many a good person that still tries to hang on to stuff like that. And one day when he was up on the housetop, he heard a voice that said, "Don't you call that what I made clean, unclean. God, I wish I would take a bunch of preachers in this valley here and let them know that we're not crazy. We're not holy rollers, a bunch of trash." Now, so he's trying to make a point here because remember, as God begins to move, he moves in a way that's so untraditional from everything around it and where the movement is of God. So it steps out and people say, "That's weird. That's different," right? And that's how it's always been. So as Luther began to step out of Catholicism, that's weird. That's different. We need to do something to him, right? Same thing on Wesley, same thing with Pentecost, and same thing with the message of the hour. And the same thing with around the message, okay? Because there's three kinds of believers, but I'm trying to get down to the separation between the unbeliever, the make-believer, and the true believer. Because the true believer is motivated by the Spirit, and they see spiritual things. It's very different. If you look at Joseph, the life of Joseph, he was a spiritual man. It was very different from his brothers, and his brothers hated him. They were all in the same family. You understand what I'm saying? And so they all had a prophet for the father, and they all were worshiping God. And so, but these guys, they were worshiping God in a carnal, intellectual way. But Joseph saw visions. He saw the supernatural. He dealt with in that realm, and as he was dealing in that realm, he was looked on as different. And they said, "We don't like this guy. We're jealous of this guy because he has something that we don't have," right? And so we've got to, you know, understand that that occurs, okay? And we've got to check that spirit. If we're looking at somebody that may be spiritual and they're just saying that they're getting overexcited, they're getting over emotional or what have you and different things, and we're starting to judge them and different things, we need to look back at the Word of God of what's happening with this individual. Because God may be dealing in a spiritual realm with this person, and that person's following that spirit, but you're making fun of it, or you're calling it something else. And so that can happen right here amongst the message of the hour. So he says here, "We're not holy rollers, a bunch of trash. It's the Spirit of the living God, and men and women are drunk on his goodness. It's not witchcraft or mental telepathy. It's the spirit of the living God. Turn loose of your traditions, elders, and listen to the voice of the living God. It'll change you. Remember, it was always in the minority. You won't become one of the persecutors. You'll want to be one of them if you can pass the barriers of all your doctrines, all your thinking, until you can float into his presence yonder. Something will take place. You won't believe the days of miracles is past. You'll believe that they're right here because one would be performed on you. Sure, to change a man. That's what the voice of God always does. It changes men and women and makes them what they should be, not what the schools and the teachers has made, but what God has patterned them for. So we're talking about the voice of God. God speaking to you and giving you a revelation, and you say, that is the voice of God. God spoke to me, and now there's faith in that. And so when you hear that and you hold on to it, God is going to deliver you from something. Right? And that's what we're looking for as believers. We're not looking for do's and don'ts of the message of the hour. We're looking for the voice of God. Amen. Oh, I would like to go into personal experiences, and how that you would love to go to personal testimonies. Many of you men and women who has heard his voice, I can remember hearing it when I was just a little boy way down in the mountains of Kentucky. And I thought it was a bird sitting in a tree, but the bird flew away. He said, don't fear, because you're going to leave from here someday and live near a city called New Albany. So he's going into the voices that he would hear. That voice speaks to you and I, brothers and sisters. Many of us have heard that voice, and it's so powerful, and it speaks directly to your heart. So now he says this, oh, he's still the same Lord God, and you hear him hour after hour speaking to you in your teeny little closet, in your prayer room, come out before the audiences, then speak visible to the people, the voice of God. So as he's in the prayer closet, he's hearing the voice of God. And so as you and I are in our prayer closet, we're hearing the voice of God. He's speaking to us. Nobody else sees what's going on in there. He says, Peter heard the voice and it changed all of his theology. He went right straight to the Gentiles who he thought to be a bunch of illiterate offcasts. But the voice of God, not his teaching, the voice of the living God changed him. And so when you hear that voice of God, it changes the direction that you're going, right? And so Brother Branham gave this testimony when this guy pulled out a piece of paper and it had, where will you spend eternity? It was a voice of God speaking to him. And when he read that, it came to his heart and he turned away. And so the voice of God will change your direction. Many of us know that. And so you went on a different path, and then God was bringing you closer to himself. The voice of the living God changed him. Amen. Praise the Lord. We're out of time here, and the next subjects we're going to be getting into is being prayed up. Because we need to be prayed up. We need to be charged up as a Christian. And we're going to see what prayer does to the Christian life, how it makes it victorious and takes out all of the things that cripple. If you have crippled life as a Christian, or you're not having a victorious life or not overcoming, it's because of prayer. If we would go more into prayer, those things would fall away. I have the message of the hour. I want to reinforce that by God's grace in the upcoming lessons. Praise the Lord. Let's all stand. Let's give him the glory. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Your Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus. Lord, you have made a way for us, O Father. You have shown us and opened the book to us, O Lord. Lord, we're wanting to eat the book. We're wanting to take the book and let it come down and be digested within us, O Father. And Lord Jesus, become a part of us and us becoming a part of it, O Lord. So that we may prophesy again, O Father. And the word of God, testimony of Jesus Christ, is the spirit of prophecy. Lord Jesus, help us in this hour to, Lord, shake off the things of this world. Put you first in everything in our lives, O Lord Jesus. And Lord, we know that everything else is just going to fall into place. Lord, help every brother and sister, O Lord, Lord, that is your desire to help each one, O Father. Lord, you sent a gift, O Father, through the prophet with a divine gift of healing, O Father, to not only restore the body, but to restore the spirit and the soul, O Father. Lord Jesus, may each one of us catch that, O Lord, and be restored in all those three areas with the final step in the restoration of the body. Lord Jesus, Lord, bless every heart that's here, O Lord, and help each one of us to grow, O Father, in our spiritual walk with you. Lord Jesus, as we go through the service, bless the song service, O Lord. Lord, take a hold of the man of God, O Lord, that he may speak the words of life directly to the needs, O Lord, and so they may hear the voice of God, not the voice of a man, but the voice of God. Dear Lord, speak to the minister of the voice of God in the study, O Lord, so that it may just flow out of him, O Father, to the people. Lord Jesus, we thank you for all things. We ask this in the precious name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. God be with you all in the name of Jesus. Amen.